Hope and pray everybody's doing well as you're listening to my words. And once again, I'm joined by Jeff Jenkins and Tim Polly. And we're going to look once again, When God is Our Refuge, Episode 3. And I want to begin, Jeff, what is something that you're thankful for during this time? And there's a lot of negativity we see on social media and things, but what's something you're thankful for during this time?
Well, I'm thankful that we've been able to be safe during this time, to be healthy during this mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. as of this recording, and just thankful for God's faithfulness and for my job and just different things, just different things like that, and know that, and just thankful for the peace. And as you've discussed in these couple of episodes, how God is in control mm-hmm. and the peace that that brings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thankful for my family. I really am. Times like this, I don't want this to sound wrong or anything, but times like this helps me to realize the simplicity of life. I feel like our world is addicted to busyness. And sometimes maybe God is intervening, I don't know, he's intervening and causing us just to stop for a second and just realize the blessings that we have. I was playing with my kids this morning and just thankful that God gave them to me. And it's just the simplicity of life. I've just enjoyed kind of taking a chill pill, as the pastor that mentored me used to say. Sometimes then you got to take a chill pill. Don't get so busy in ministry, And I was able to take a little chill pill, and it's very hard to do because our society is addicted to busyness, addicted to process and progress. And I don't want to use the word withdrawals, but sometimes in our minds and our hearts we are we desire Mayberry, the simplicity of Mayberry. And when that simplicity of Mayberry comes, we're like fidgeting, like, there's something we got to do, something we got to do, something I got to do. And in those moments, I have to remind myself, Dean, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. And like you said, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for the opportunity to pastor people, to preach the word to people. God has a lot of blessings, even though our minds sometimes focus on the negative. So, just something to start off with tonight. But the last time we got together, we examined the first result of applying Psalm 46:1, and it was, I will not fear the circumstances around me. And once again, this psalm has three stanzas, all divided by the word Selah. Our emphasis in this episode is the second stanza, from verse 4 to verse 7. Let's read this. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This second result of having God be our refuge is that of, I will not face the battle alone. The first thing, I will not fear the circumstances around me. The second is, I will not face the battle alone. Why? Well, let's look here in verse 4, verses 4 through verse 5, because God is in the midst of my life. Note that phrase, there is a river. That means divine grace, like a smoothly flowing, fertilizing, full, and never-failing river that yields refreshment and consolation to believers in Jesus Christ, a water of life. Now, this just wasn't a creek when it says there's a river. It doesn't say there's a creek. It says there's a river. It's a lot of water. It's a river provided to the inhabitants of the city. Now, the context of this psalm is the people, they're confined to Jerusalem. Assyrian army is going to attack. They're sieging the city. And when an army sieges a city in those times, the first thing they do is cut off their water supply. But Jerusalem didn't have a water supply. Jerusalem was not built on a river. Every city in antiquity was built. Egypt had the Nile. Assyria had the Tigris. Babylon had the Euphrates. India had the Indus River. I could go on and on and on. But Jerusalem wasn't built on a river. Knowing that sooner or later that the Assyrian army would besiege Jerusalem, King Hezekiah, we looked in a previous episode how if you're sieged and you're leading the city, how are you going to lead? What steps are you going to take? And I'm sure he had people tell him this and people tell him that and advisors here and advisors there. He wisely and practically ensured that Jerusalem had an unfailing water supply no matter how long the siege. Well, how did he do that? This guy's brilliant. He had an underground water supply built, water system built. There's a spring of Gihon located in a 20 by 7 foot cave below the eastern hill of Ophel between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives in that deep Kidron Valley. He diverted that spring through a conduit 1,777 feet long. It was hewn out of solid rock into a reservoir inside the city walls. It was called the Pool of Siloam. 2 Kings 20:20, 2 Chronicles 32:30 mentions this. And you can even see that in Jerusalem today. He then completely covered the ancient spring so the enemy would not even know that spring was there. So throughout that siege, there was an ever-present river, a river the streams were of made glad the city of God. That's the imagery in that verse. For all his great strength and cunning tricks, Assyria, they knew nothing of this unfailing source of inner refreshment without which the city of Jerusalem could have not even, they couldn't last more than a month or two. They needed water. Without that hidden river, Jerusalem would have fallen. Not from the strength of the foe without, but from the weakness and failure within. Instead, the city had that secret river that kept it strong. Note that phrase, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, verse 5. Jerusalem was indeed the holy city, set apart by God, and his sanctuary, the temple, was there. But these things were no guarantee of victory. The king and his people needed to turn to him in confession and faith, and he would hear and save them. Thus the psalmist said, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. The psalmist draws upon the illustration by saying God was in the midst of that river, and it was God that truly provides us with the water of life. There was somebody in the midst. We know who it was in his midst of his believing people. This is an image of Christ. We see him in the midst of the temple scholars as a boy at 12, in the midst of the upper room, after his resurrection, in the midst of the lampstands, walking amongst the churches in Revelation, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the cherubim, in the midst of the 24 elders in glory, he is always in the midst when it says, God is in the midst of her. He's in the midst when God's people gather today. We're gathering right now listening to this podcast. He's in the midst of Jerusalem when the Assyrian army threatened the city from without. Think about that marvelous river that we have within the Bible. God the Father has set before us a fountain of living water. Jeremiah 2:13, God the Son has set before us a well of living water. John 4:13 and 14, God the Holy Spirit has set before us as a river of living water. We have that marvelous river within. The Holy Spirit's come down from the throne of God to fill our hearts, provide us with that unfailing reservoir a spiritual supply. No enemy can stop that, but we have to have the choice to tap into that. The streams thereof. Those streams, the citizens of Zion would unfailingly supply all their needs. God's in the midst of her. How can she be moved unless her enemies move her Lord also? And they couldn't do that. God shall help her. What's this say to you about the idea of the river and God's in the midst? What thoughts come to your mind when we look at that verse there?
It goes to a future river.
Oh, yeah.
You know, future river.
Yep.
And the millennial reign of Christ.
Oh, man.
You know, and you just, that's where the imagery takes me,
yeah,
too, you know, yeah, of that, you know, the city of our God and that river, you know, that will be part of the millennium. And that gives you good imagery about that.
Future promise.
Yep.
Future promise is almost like it's a present promise and it's a future promise. And it showed how God provided for them. And presently we have that Holy Spirit power and we can tap in. The Lord's always there. Nothing takes them by surprise. It's just we have to choose to tap into it. But like you said, I like that. The future, the river,
yeah,
that flows from him, from the throne of God, yeah, in Revelation. Man, that's pretty good stuff. Understand that there's a river. Christ, he's with you. He promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll refresh you. He'll nourish you. No matter what the circumstances are in life, we can drink at the river of his joy and blessing and find the peace and strength we need. He's in the midst of our life. Here's another thing. I will not face the battle alone because there's a river. God's in the midst of my life. But notice this. Verse 6 and 7. God is in the midst of my problem. Notice it says, the heathen raged, the nations raged, the kingdoms removed. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. It says the heathen rage or the nation's rage. Talking about Assyria in this context. They were in a furious uproar. They were gathering against Jerusalem like white wolves. They were ravenous for their prey. They foamed, they roared, they swelled like a stormy sea. They troubled the prey. You know what? The enemy does this to us as well. The battle's spiritual. Principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. Would you confess that there's spiritual warfare?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
The battle's not flesh and blood. Yeah. The battle, we talked about the mind, of course, but the idea of sometimes the problems of our life can be spiritual. They can be spiritual problems. They're physical, but there can be spiritual. And I thought about this. If we're a believer in Christ, we have an enemy that wants us to fail. He wants us to give into our temptation. He wants us to do that. And we need a refuge from the enemy's wrath. It says the kingdom's removed. The ground would become a wasteland in the enemy's midst. And the people of Jerusalem knew that they had a problem. But God uttered his voice and the earth melted. Just with a word, the same God that created everything with a word was the same God that stilled a storm. He gave forth a voice. Stout hearts were dissolved, proud armies annihilated, conquering powers made weak. The word of God. There's power in the word from the Lord. It says in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. That right there is the reason for all Jerusalem's security and for the overthrow of Assyria. The Lord rules the angels, the stars, the elements, and all the host of heaven. And the heaven of heavens are under his sway. But I thought about this. I was studying this, Jeff, and it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. What did the angel tell Mary that you shall call his name what? God with us. Yeah. What is the word?
Yeah, God with us. Yeah. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
In Hebrew, the Lord of hosts, the word in Hebrew is Emmanuel. That is the foe was defeated before he ever left Assyria. God did help Jerusalem when the morning dawned, for the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers and sent Sennacherib home. Isaiah 37, verse 36. Now we take note of the victories God gave for his people, and we understand regardless of the trouble you're facing, we're always going to have problems. I've pastored a while. I've been an assistant pastor, and I've been in ministry for a long time. And one thing I do know, everybody has problems. When you think that somebody else doesn't have any problems and you have all the problems, you're deceiving yourself. Everybody has problems because we live in this sin-cursed world. Circumstances happen out of our control. Viruses happen. Earthquakes happen. Like we looked at Nashville a few weeks ago, a tornado struck down. That is this world, the sin-cursed world, crawling for its redemption. God is stronger and more powerful than those problems. We have to trust him to take care of it. Jeff, you got any example of any time where you knew God was in the midst of your problem? Or you had maybe a problem or something, and he was in the midst, not only in your life with the river, but also any problems, anything?
Yeah, I mean, just some circumstances, you know, at work and different things, and just things come up, you know, with people that you work with or whatever, and mm-hmm. and you turn to God for some guidance, you turn to God with peace, and you just every day you just, you know, you turn it over to him and hope to trust in him. You know, this go back to verse 5 just real quick. Mm-hmm. They said God will help her in the morning. What trust, right? God will help. They trusted God. And especially after the psalm was written, I mean, they knew they could say with confidence that God will help, mm-hmm. you know, and he did help them when the battle was there. And I think that's where we have to come to, that God's going to help us. God's going to help us mm-hmm. in the middle of the trial. It's not saying it won't be easy, not saying it won't be difficult, not saying we won't struggle. But in the end, we know that God will help us and his will be done. We can trust in him.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that phrase too, God shall help her just at the break of dawn.
Right.
Something about a sunrise, right?
Yeah.
The sunrise, I thought about Lamentations. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. That sun rises. Yesterday was a memory.
Yeah.
You may have to face that problem again when that sun rises. But when that sun rises, as an imagery there, the darkness of that problem is over and there's a new day. There's a new opportunity. I thought about that.
Yeah, just at the time of battle, when the morning dawns, there's God. Ready to help.
And, of course, Jerusalem, they were all scared. Everybody was, they were bunkered down. And the morning, the sun rose at the eastern gate. The next morning, they found out the enemy wasn't there anymore. And they're going, God, this is incredible. And their faith was tested and stretched right there to the last point. And I thought about this in our lives. Sometimes we're just surrounded. Sometimes the problem is too much for us to bear. Sometimes, but we have this promise that there's a river because God is in the midst of our life if we trust him, and God is in the midst of our problem. Remember, the emphasis of this psalm is on the presence of God with his people. And the difference it makes when we trust him in the difficulties and changes of this life. Remember, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. While we wait, God's working. While we wait, God's fighting our battles. While we wait, God's still in control. Is he in the midst of your life? Is he in the midst of your problem? That's the decision we have to make, to surrender things to her. Any other word about this passage? Before we close?
No, it's just, people go through real problems, and we just don't say that superficially, and people go through real difficulties and real problems, and God is there, and God is there to help us. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians about being in 2 Corinthians that God calls him the God of all comfort. Mm-hmm. And he said, Paul was saying, I go through difficulties so I can comfort other people. He comforts me so I can comfort others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ministries of being in trouble or being in mm-hmm. in tough times.
Amen. Well, if you're listening, thank you so much for joining us with this simple Bible study. And there's several old sermons on the website that you can listen to that we can't get out and worship together. I'm really missing that. And miss seeing everybody, miss preaching to you, miss worshiping together, miss talking to each and every one of you. But I'm looking forward in anticipation when we can do that again. And it should be soon, Lord willing. We'll keep praying for that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Jeff, could you close us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you say here, Lord, that we will not face the battle alone, Lord, Thank you that you're there. Thank you for that future city that we look forward to, Lord, the reign of Christ, Lord, when everything will be new, Lord, and you will reign, God. We look forward to that. Thank you that you are our refuge and our strength, as this psalm says, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.